Last week, I expressed my gratitude for not having studied sciences. And this week, I am extending gratitude to the universe for having enabled me to have conversations for as long as I want without being worried that a certain prefect will write my name for talking in class. It's like, thank God I'm out of school. And if you're new to the podcast, no, I'm not a school dropout. I'm just glad I'm no longer the person whose ability to conversate is limited by the fear of being caned. So hi, my name is Nabuguzi Chwanuka and welcome to the 138th episode of Hashtag with Nabuguzi Chwanuka. Today I'm speaking to Sebo Lole, a Ugandan poet whose uniqueness in delivery goes as far as the choice of language. What I first noticed about Sebo Lole is the professionalism that he exhibits when it comes to his brand. And for this conversation, we talk about the thought process behind his stage name, why he chose to fashion himself as a Luganda poet, and his over a decade experience in the poetry industry. Before we get into this conversation though, I would like to remind you that the Thrivies products are still on sale. Remember to make a purchase of either the affirmation mug or the coloring books that are available from the toddling age to adults. The money that comes from the purchases is injected back into the production process of this podcast. So let's dive into the conversation.
Bana Uganda mazima muri mutia.
Bana Uganda wakavu ya gwede nao.
Yeah.
Oso sode.
Ah, si
sode. Oso sode mawanga.
Pudyo muna Uganda. Everyone is a Uganda. So
Ugandans are representative of over the 100 countries listening in.
Well, for now everyone is a Ugandan. Whoever is listening, it's a Ugandan.
That's considered. Yeah, and we are going to speak Luganda, guys. Yeah. For... Listener discretion is advised. Sebo Lole.
Yes.
Why are you bullying us? I don't call you so quiet as Sebo. Why do you want us to call you Sebo?
Why? Well, people ask me a lot. Why? And they get confused or surprised. Why Sebo?
Uh-huh.
Who are you? You get it? So, well, because I believe I am a unique artist.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of poetry that I do and the language that I present it in is unusual for what is available. So I wanted to create a name that moves along with what I do, with the art.
Yeah.
An outstanding name.
Because okay. You know, with Sebo, it's taking me to... I don't know. I'm trying to figure out where I could have had it. But it just communicates elder.
Ah.
Sebo Mwali. The kind of thing.
Yeah. Because in the past, the family man or the father, the head of the house was referred to as Sebo.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a story. The month of July is called Seba Aseka.
That's right.
And there's a story behind that.
Is it
that.
July?
I believe it's July.
June,
July.
Oh my God. Let me check. Let me take a moment and check. Let me see. What is it called again?
Sebasek.
No, months in Luganda. Months in. I'm very sure it's June. Okay, it's loading. It's June.
It's June, eh?
Yeah. July is Kasambula.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the head of the family was often referred to as Sebo.
That's right.
So, I believe I move with such responsibility.
How did you come to this place? Why this kind of branding, I would call it? Because I... Like, we were having a conversation before and I was like, where did I find you? And I just couldn't remember how I landed on you, but I think I found it interesting that you had chosen specifically Luganda. Did you have you done anything in English?
Yeah, I have. Before 2015, I used to write in English. I have quite a number of poems unpublished in English. I can still do it, but I've chosen not to. The only way I'm doing it now is by translation of my already existing Luganda poems. Why now? Why? Because, again, back to branding.
Right.
It had to be a name or a title that could get someone to ask the question, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why Sebo? And then when they ask themselves, why Sebo? They have to check. They have to Google. So for me, it's a trick. it's a kind of trap. I've trapped the audience into checking who Sebo is. And I also make sure that they like what they find. Yeah. So that's why I perform the way I perform. I write the way I write, so that when someone checks Google or their social media for Sebo, or they randomly come across Sebo's content, they're in disbelief. They've not seen something like this before, because it's really not there.
Yeah,
it might be, but not the same way Sebo does it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because this recent event that I was on, and I watched you and Mitch manifest, Mitch's manifest, and the way how you're doing that thing, I was like, this is just throwing me back to the way how we were introduced to Luganda. Like, because I think, I don't know, you said you didn't study it, which I find strange, because P1 and P2 in the schools, I don't want to sound like I studied P2 in different schools. P1 and P2 in the school that I was in, it was a must for us to study Luganda. And I don't know if the schools are still doing that. Maybe it's the traditional schools that do that. And I think they were stories that had to be told or poems that had to be read.
Especially poems.
Yeah, and when I see you perform, I'm like, oh. It's taking me to, of course, as a child, we might not really have been understanding where what is happening, really. We're just seeing someone rhyme and things like that. And then, because it just threw me to this, I don't know if you know it. There is one, I think there are two separate ones. There's and then there is Rachi Wamuka and
and so on. And then there's another one. Kagwa yalaira, techiri mkulu, mechiri watuka, umano muto, aliita nyino mkulu na itengozi, emu.
Yes! So, were those like Bikocho or something?
Bikocho, no, they were poems.
Bikocho what? Proverbs?
Proverbs.
I don't remember what it was like.
But those are not Bikocho. Those are poems.
Yeah.
Those are children's poems. And I remember when I was growing up, we used to sing those for fun, of course.
Exactly. Because you found it. You just find it, people doing it, and then you just adopt it.
And it had rhythm. It was exciting. So I believe from those and more Luganda content, I was able to build Sebo Lule,
right,
as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You mentioned when we're having the conversation earlier, I'm still drawing back to that. Because I was like, when I saw you performing, I was very sure this is someone who enjoyed Luganda classes. 101. Like, I ran away from Luganda classes because someone scared me that they're going to be very hard on you.
Mm.
I scored an 80 something, I think. But then my brother was like, let me tell you, the language is hard. And then he got my paper and he was like, you see, these are mistakes that you made, mm. but they just excused you. It's going to be tighter. You need to enter the French class. I was convinced. I ran. I was like, because I think what also happened that time was that we were in class and I had to ask a question. And for me to ask the question, I had to ask it in Luganda and I couldn't really phrase it. So I just got silent. Now, when my brother came in, I was like, hey, man, I think I should agree. I should accept. So take us. Because you're now talking about, you've mentioned that these might have been contributed to who Sebolole is right now.
Yeah.
How do you enter this kind of space? You've not even told us what your name is, my friend. Do you want to tell us or is it something that you want to keep to yourself?
No, no, I can mention it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, sometimes people assume the name is actually Sebolole.
Oh my goodness.
But it's Lule Raymond.
I could never. Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I could have never guessed. Okay, let us move forward. So, besides that, how do you enter this space? Have you always loved literature? Has it been your thing as a child?
Well, when I was still a child, I didn't really get so into the literature. I studied literature in my O level, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I was quite good at it and the English, but I didn't have any dreams of taking it on in any language,
mm-hmm.
of writing. I did well in composition writing, but it was just in the school setting.
Right.
But then when I got out of school, then in my S6 vacation, I started writing poems in English. And then I felt the urge to go and watch a poetry show.
Did you know them? You knew them?
I used to see, especially the Lantern Meet.
You are so lucky. Or are you very young?
And
you might be very young and I'm
young.
The old one. Because I might assume we are age mates and I'm like, me, I only got to know later. And you're also just a kid, man.
No, I'm not. I'm not young.
But you're lucky because I had never really, or maybe I just didn't give these things attention. I don't know if it's you that I talked to, but you remember the very first time you were telling me about your book and I was like, I would rather listen to someone do it than read. And then that same night, I think, Oha decided to buy me the book. And then I had to ask myself questions because when you autograph, you're like, remember me on page so-and-so. When you order, and then when I opened the page, I started to find it interesting. Then I had to ask myself questions. Why am I, like, when you present me poems in written form, I distance myself from them there and then. And I discovered that it is because literature got introduced to me as an examinable thing.
Oh.
And I was really scared of it because most people think I actually studied literature, but I did not even bother entering. I only did it at a level where it was compulsory, senior one and senior two. And after that, I just didn't try because someone scared me. They're like, you're entering a literature class? You're going to have to write a poem. And it is, oh man, you have to interpret poems.
Analyze.
Hey, I was like, hey. Don't have that brain. I cannot manage. So I think in a way I carried that subconsciously. So every time someone was like, no, can't. I cannot read. But give me audio and I'm going to play it on loop the whole day. Like the thing that it was my first experience, I would say, from a Ugandan perspective or just generally, what Kagai did for the headline that morning.
The audio.
Yes, the audio. The I did not bother with that book. I bought for some people, I think like two people, the book. But me, I just, the CD broke. I bought another one. So I want to feel the emotions. I want to feel what the other person communicates. But then I noticed when I carried the book home, mom started reading and I was like, I like the sound of the way how she's doing it. Yeah. So where does this come in on your end?
First, I spoke a lot of Luganda. when I was growing up, at home, we spoke only Luganda.
Only?
Yeah, because we are, I would say we are a traditional or an average Ugandan family.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have the luxury of English. And then we didn't really have to. We didn't want to. The language was for school.
Mm-hmm.
But then after, I think it was mostly for class. Because even when we moved out, my friends and I would speak.
Yeah, Uganda. Tell me about those punishments.
And then we had to wear bones and socks. And
we are twins there. We twins.
And they would read your name out as one of the vernacular speakers. Which I find strange.
What did that do to you? Did it in any way affect you? Did you feel like there was something being taken away from you at that time?
I think it was unfair.
Uh-huh.
But then at that point, I didn't have the courage to speak against it.
Yeah.
And I don't even think I could. I was still a bit shy. Oh. I was quite shy.
No, yeah. Let me tell you, I didn't think you really speak. When we see you in public, you're somewhere, someone, Eranga Bori Sebo, we have to come to you. You're about to make us kneel.
So, I spent a lot of time speaking Luganda and then reading Buganda news, Bukede. Newspapers. I got the advantage to read that a lot when I was growing up and appreciating the language. And of course, by then there was a lot of Luganda content on TV and radio. There was the Ebonies, the Abibawo, and That's Life Mwatu.
Meanwhile, it confuses me. Were there two shows or is it the same thing? It always plays me.
I think it was two shows. I'm not sure, but...
Someone needs to clarify. Because it almost sounds the same thing, like Biba Awo, That's Life. It sounds like a continuation.
It sounds like maybe a translation.
Yeah, but then there is more too. So I don't know. That one really plays me a lot. That one plays
so,
me.
So that and then the content on the radio. And then even where I passed, the places where I would go to play and to interact.
Mm-hmm.
Luganda, everywhere. I think it has changed now a bit. You can find someone and they greet you in English.
Oh,
hello,
I am.
I need directions. So that somehow contributed to, because I was taking it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is also how I create content. I observe a lot and I listen a lot.
Yeah.
Whenever I am moving, some of the poems I've written came from conversations
Yeah.
Just hearing people say a thing and then I take it, like I steal it. And then I go back and create something out of it.
Yeah.
So that is it really. Sebo Lule is an artist in and within the environment.
I actually wanted to ask you if it takes so much observation, or do you feel like it's more like two questions? There is the observation of society, which you have kind of answered.
Yeah.
And then also the question of, do you feel like poetry is like a society commentary?
Yeah, it is.
Especially when I saw that Obasanjo, I was like, oh my goodness. Because I was mostly on social media. I don't know. I didn't check for the time where you might have published it.
That was last year.
Yes.
And the many poems in that book came from social media.
Ooh.
Yeah. Abasajja Mbwa and there's another one. But there are bits and bits of things that I get from social media and I expand them into comments about society.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a moment in time when Abasajja Mbwa, or men and dogs, was
it was
everywhere.
It was harsh.
So so I took that up and created a humorous poem out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The same way I did Mulia Muogo, Simigati, and others. So to me, it's social commentary. And then it depends on the kind of artist you are. Some artists mostly write about themselves.
What they experience?
What they experience, uh-huh, or what they go through. The poems are more personal. They are mostly about their pains and joys. But I like to be out there. If my body is in my living room, then somehow one of my legs is out trying to get, or one of my ears is out trying to pick something, trying to get something. What is going on? Either on the news or the neighborhood or,
yeah. And then we get to the bit of the creation process.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's a smooth ride for you? Because you mentioned the bit where composition was quite a strength for you in school. Mm. Were you doing it out of enjoyment at the time, or were you also having the marks in mind?
I think it was both, because you know how school is.
Right.
You mostly do it to pass.
Mm-hmm.
You can enjoy it, but then you may not get the chance to go through it as many times as possible. Because now I can spend a week or a month working on a poem.
One.
It may not be one. Well, it depends on the length and how far I want to go with it. But I don't normally take that long on one poem. What I meant is that there's more liberty now to experiment than I had in school, because in school you had a fixed time to create something and hand it in.
Right.
But now I can go through my poem over and over and make sure that by the time it's in a book or it's performed, it has excitement about it.
Yeah.
It's a story, but then it has fun moments, it has a sound, especially because Luganda poetry is driven by sound, rhythm, or mudigido.
Isn't it all poems?
Not really. Because for poems in English, it's more about style.
Okay.
And the rules of writing. But here, because the origin of Luganda poetry is the drum.
Yes.
The drum accompanying the poem, or the poem accompanying the drum.
Mm-hmm.
Because every clan has a special poem that summarizes its story.
That's right.
Omubara Gwechika.
Is it considered a poem?
It's a poem, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a poem.
Omubara Gwechika. What did I say?
Ngonge.
Uh-huh. Omubara Gwechika.
Mwegali, wajali. Mwegali, wajali. So, they move like that.
Mm.
Of course, not the same way, but they have sound and movement about them.
I feel like mine is just a word. Or maybe I've not yet learned it very well. Feels like just... Something like that. I feel like it's just one word.
Yeah, but then even if it's one word or one sentence, it has...
Maybe it has something. Maybe it, I didn't it, learn the whole has, of it.
I don't think it's just one sentence, actually. It could be maybe four lines.
That's long.
It's not long.
That's long.
It's not long. But then, because back to the story, some clan poems are longer than others because of how they were formed and what story they are telling. So, yours could be four lines or more.
Mm-hmm.
Mine could be two or three repeated lines. But then, even those have rhythm and sound because they are performed with a drum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's repeated. I don't know. But I know the beat of the drum. Nadala munyimbe.
Yeah.
Munyimba o basingo kula. Emibala
bieche. Mikolo jiech kedi singa.
I will not lie that I've been present. Munyimbe munyingo bidaba. So, period of you being in the poetry space, because you've talked about before 2015 that you were already active and you were doing English.
I was actively writing, but I was not known to many people. I was more active on Facebook. I was a member of a writer's group, and we would share poems there and critique and so on. But then when I started going to poetry shows, I got a different feeling or experience. I was... challenged to perform because it's a different feeling when you write and when you perform. The stage is a place where you become someone else or something else, and it can't entirely be experienced on paper.
Right.
Because here you get to use your body, you use your voice, you move around, and the interaction with the audience is instant. You can tell if they like the poem or if they don't.
Tell me about the time where you felt like the audience has said no. You have refused.
There have been times like those, actually. And I think it was not because the poem was good or bad, but because I was placing poetry in a place it wasn't supposed to be.
Like where exactly?
A bar. We've gone to bars and people have been drinking and they're distracted and probably there is a match going on TV.
Why would you do that? Tell me why you would do that.
How
are you?
On your scent. But how are you
performing when someone is watching a match? Do you actually expect them to look away from the match?
Well, it may not be that they are watching the match, yeah. but it's there.
Mm.
So, of course, it gets some attention from them. And then it's a different environment where you're trying to capture someone's attention.
Right.
It's not like being in a theater and the only thing is you on stage.
That's right.
Because then in a bar, there is a bottle. There are people moving up and down and there's maybe music somewhere. Mm-hmm. So there've been times like those, but now I think I know where to go and not to go at this level.
Mm-hmm.
So I choose where to perform and where I will not try to embarrass myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what has it been like for you? I think you've not mentioned the period.
Well, I started, I switched to Luganda Poetry in 2015.
After,
let's say, 2011, 12, 13, 14, after about 4 years. So I go to this show at the National Theatre, Kagai and Friends, before it was renamed to the Poetry Shrine. And then I see a number of poets performing in their languages.
Oh.
Yeah, I meet Zenson, Senkaba, I meet Django, a man eater, and others. And so I'm seated there and I'm wondering, wait, so this is possible? Because
was that 2015?
Yeah. So I had not experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
I had experienced it in rap on radio because I was listening to a lot of rap. And that also influenced my writing and my poetry because it was clever the way they put together words and create a story. So I go back home and I tell myself that I will write a poem in Uganda and I will perform it.
Which one was the first one?
The first one was Babonge Samimwa. Either that or Zenowange. Because Zenowange is one of my most famous poems that I performed for quite long before I published Ogendawa. And I remember I used to go to schools and to many places and they would call me Zenowange because it had got it had caught
them. So you would
them.
Just be
it,
walking by and Zenowange.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So
what did that make you feel like?
Well, it was a new experience.
And was that before you choosing the name Sebolule?
Yeah, before and then after. Because the name didn't come right away.
Mm.
The name started on Twitter, actually. Started as a Twitter handle. Because I had an account and I was thinking, what should I call myself here? So, Sebolule. And then when I switched from Raymond Lule, at first it was Lule Sebo Lule.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized that was quite long. I wanted to shorten it to just Sebo Lule.
Right.
Yeah. And I did that. And people liked it. And again, back to the why. Why Sebo?
Yeah.
A trap, because when you meet a book somewhere and it has Sebolule, or you see,
you know,
name,
it instantly communicates an old man, someone that we are supposed to respect highly.
Let me tell you a story. Or stories.
Tell me.
There, I think I've met about two, not even two, more than three people.
Uh huh.
And they thought I was an old man.
That's what it communicates.
I went somewhere.
I told you, you have to be an elder.
I went somewhere to record a verse for an artist, and they had not met me. I was in studio, and then they phoned me with the producer and the manager. And when they saw me, they had to ask, are you the one?
Yeah.
Are you Sebo Lule? And their question was, or query, or I thought you were an old man.
That's what it shows. That's what it says.
So it also gives me kind of responsibility.
What kind?
The kind where I have to produce work that carries the weight of the name.
Mm-hmm.
Because when someone hears Sebo, they expect you to be at a certain level. The level of an elder,
mm-hmm,
speaking through a young man's body or spirit.
Reincarnation.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, so it's a challenge that I am what I am. So, and then it also pushes me to work 10 times harder.
Mm.
Yeah, because it has to be up there.
Right.
Yeah.
Because now I'm looking at 4 years before 2015, and then now we're in 2024, which is about 13 years for, about estimating that maybe January or February is when you might have been introduced to this. What has it been like for you in the poetry industry? How complex is it? Does it get, especially in the creation process and even stage or work-related stuff?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Does it get easy?
I would want to know if it does get easy with time.
I think, well, the more you do something, the better you become.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets easy somehow, but then every project is an experience. So you learn something, you learn a new way to go about it, and then you learn the business, how to sell. Before the lockdown, I wasn't really thinking about the money or the business side of it.
Yeah.
But then I think somehow the lockdown woke us up, because we spent quite a lot of time immobile. We couldn't go anywhere. And yet our practice revolved around interaction.
Right.
And performing and visiting places. And so it has been both joy and pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Some days are good, and then other times you're like, why am I still doing this? Like, what's the point?
13 years.
Yeah, 13. I would say 9 if I don't count.
If you don't count the former self.
If I don't count the former self. I've published a number of books, still in Luganda.
Mm.
I've recorded rap and released it. And now I am transitioning into the visual side of it, where I want to create videos and video content out of poems, because I know poetry moves a lot with images and imagery. And then Small Masavu, the poetry zines.
Which is even funny.
Which is funny.
Small Masavu.
And again, back to how to title a thing or a brand. I think it's one of the things I am proud that I've learned.
Yeah. What usually comes for you? Is it the title of a piece, or do you first write the piece and give it a name?
It's normally the title first.
Is it?
Yeah.
That is hard.
It's easy for me. It's easy for me because if I have a phrase, now my task is to expand that phrase into a poem.
That's hard. That's hard. Because I feel like it would be easy maybe if I had someone say something like you mentioned, and then you expound on it, and then you look through the wording and say, okay, I think I'm going to give this poem this name. But it's from the get-go, you're like, sure. That is like, anyway, you said you're good at composition. Okay, that's okay. Because now I was going to compare it to what used to happen in school for the composition. They'd be like, write, 500 words to what? About this specific topic.
They give you a title.
You start looking for where did I experience this now? And then come up with lies or whatever you have to write. So that's why I'm like, shay, that would be hard.
Well, I think then it goes back to the process.
Mm-hmm.
For me, my process is it starts with a word or a phrase, something I've heard, something I've seen somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I could see something on a signpost and I take it, I go back and place words under it and I start to create a poem.
When you talk about complexity in art, especially, and even the poetry industry, monetization
yeah.
It does not miss in these conversations. Everyone, when you tell someone what you do, does it pay?
Yeah.
So why are you still doing it? But then I've seen you create something I would consider a unique style.
Yeah.
You already mentioned you're unique, Your Highness. But I've seen the way how you price maybe a poem or an EP. And I'm like, why is he choosing that?
Why is it so cheap?
Yes, like selling something for less than a dollar.
Yeah.
Because there are some pieces at 1,000, I think. And you're like, I'll go back at you.
Well, I think that's something I learned with Small Masavu. Because the aim of Small Masavu is or was to create cheap products under literature. May not really be cheap, but affordable outside the common circles that we normally sell to. The target is to reach people who have not bought books before, poetry books. Maybe they have, but they've not paid 1,000 for a book.
Right.
Or 2,000 for a book. A small book of a poem. And then I think the thing about art is that you can't really put a price to it.
Mm-hmm.
I could sell a poem at 1,000 shillings. In Kabalagala.
Right.
I could go to Kololo and sell the same poem at $100. So I think it depends on where you're selling your art product.
But right now we have a website. It's a full-on website.
Yeah, we have a website. That's one of the things I knew I had to put up. Because then I'd started thinking about the brand. And I knew that for a brand to be respectable or to, again, be outstanding in a way, it had to have a website where if someone asks, where do I find info about you, your products and so on, I just tell them, go to sevolle.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cheap books of 1,000 and 2,000 are also a marketing strategy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because before I released Ebitonto Mebita Sesa, I was selling those as some of the poems people were going to find in that book. So it's not just about putting the books out there, but then telling creating anticipation
mm-hmm.
for what is going to come. And then I realized because of their size and name, people found them intriguing. It's small massive, and then it can fit in your pocket. But then the complexities, we still struggle to make money. Like, I think like many other artists really, who are trying to earn a living out of it, it's hard to understand the audience and if they will really buy something. Sometimes you put it on the website and then it's there, but you're either not marketing it well, or people are just distracted with all that happens on social media. So they might see your poster and then keep scrolling. And so every day we try to.
The competition with social media is tight.
It is.
It's tight.
It is. There's a lot going on. So
have you experienced any change of trends in the 9 years of you being in the industry? Do you feel like people have drawn closer to poetry, or have they drifted away from the art?
I think and I believe that we've expanded our reach to new audiences, especially using social media.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok is a good thing. It has created room for visual content out of poetry. So you upload a video and then it moves to as far as you didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are quite many poetry shows happening these days. There are many new poets who are trying out their luck or their content on mm-hmm. stage. Of course, back then we were mostly in the theater.
Yeah.
We used to go to the theater a lot to perform. But now you find poetry in restaurants, in cafes, and so on and so forth. So I think it's more available now than it was
mm-hmm.
back then. And then poets are doing a lot of publishing.
Which wasn't happening before.
Yeah. It was, but then it wasn't. It wasn't at the magnitude it is now.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then as a poet yourself, because we really talk about mental health on this podcast, have you experienced moments where you felt like, this has worn me out, I don't mm-hmm. think I need to keep doing this?
Yes. A number of times. Of course, sometimes it's pressure from the people close to you.
Oh, yeah?
It may not be pressure, but then they probably want better for you.
Mm.
And they don't see how this art thing is feeding your wallet.
Yeah.
And because of that stress, you start to question yourself and to question your input. So I've had such moments where I really wanted to just wrap it up and go. I don't know where, but just run away.
Yeah.
To wherever. But then there are also things I have learned doing this that enable me to persist. Like the aspect of making money, like creating products and having a brand that can attract an audience, can attract clients
mm.
to pay you to perform, to respect you and pay you and call you to go to their places and perform for them. It takes a while, of course. I think every business takes a while.
Yeah.
There are many things we didn't know back then. Maybe we knew them. Maybe I knew them, but I wasn't paying attention. But now I am more intentional about the business aspect of it. How do I sell? How do I make this profitable for me? Because if it's profitable for me, then it will be profitable for others.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I've had moments, but Teddy Kuzikiza, is my life motto,
mm-hmm.
which really means don't stop the fire burning. It's how I move. There are blows from everywhere, and we keep moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a specific moment that you felt like that's why I wanted you to point?
Mm.
At least if there is a poet joining the industry, so that they do not feel like they're alone in a specific moment. They're just seeing Sebolule on stage, doing his thing. Like, how is it so easy for him? How does he keep showing up? So if there is a specific moment, a specific day or night where a couple of specific thoughts as well that might have visited you, can you expound on that specifically and then how you moved forward or what kept you going?
I think I've had like three of those or more.
Mm-hmm.
Even last week.
So, yeah.
Last week was quite, I can't really put my finger on one thing, but it was like a wave trying to sweep me off my feet.
Yeah.
But then I think because I've gone in and out of these phases, somehow you grow thick skin. And then also because of the kind of environment I grew up in, it wasn't easy. Life was not easy. So I don't expect it to be easy, whether it's in the art industry or just life as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are going to be tough times. And when they come, I experience them and then I get out of it. When I tell myself it's time to get back to business, it's time to get back to work, it is time.
Right.
Because this is not just about me. It's a duty.
Mm.
Sebo.
It's a responsibility, it's
a responsibility to speak for others.
Mm-hmm.
It's a calling. Who shall speak if not me, if not us, the poets?
Right.
Because in a country like ours where people take things as just jokes and they let them just go by and we forget, how shall we account for these things? How shall we remember the things that happened to us,
right,
if there are no poets writing about them? So through it, through the pain and struggle, you keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Because like a warrior, of course, you lose blood, you get shot at, you, but then you're supposed to protect your people. So if you come to this side of the arts, depending on, again, what you write about, you need to get tougher.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not easy in in all aspects, financially, emotionally. But if you have chosen to do this, or if you've been chosen and you believe you have,
you keep fanning the flames.
Yeah.
What are the last words that you would want to leave the listener?
Thank you very much for
oh my goodness, yeah,
for supporting, for loving the poets,
mm-hmm.
for buying the things that we create.
If someone wants to buy, before you even do your parting shots, if someone wants to buy some Omar Savu, please direct them and possibly give them a hint on what they might find.
There's a shop in town where you can find my books.
A shop in town?
Pioneer Mall.
Mm.
Yeah. Pioneer Mall.
I think right now it's now called the New Pioneer Mall.
The New Pioneer Mall.
Yeah.
It's a Sahisi Gallery, Shop PI50. If you take the stairs to the last floor,
mm-hmm.
you'll find my books there. The owners sell palettes and other art products, bags and mirrors and so on. But they also sell my books. So, back to the last remarks or last words.
What about the website? Why are you missing it? Are you closing it soon?
No, I'm not closing it. So you can also find my works on sebolule.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then other info about me and my journey is also there. On social media, you'll find me.
Yeah.
YouTube and so on. Yeah.
The other aspect of rap is also something. I was shocked. I was surprised. Like, huh? He raps?
Yeah.
That's one of the things that you'll find on sebolule.com.
Yeah, you'll find PBEP.
Uh-huh.
PBEP was the first.
That's the one that I first saw. I was like,
Yeah. We released that in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we created during the in and out of the lockdown. So it was the first music project that I released. And I'm working on, of course, new work. I have Munyenye coming out next month. Munyenye is an EP of love poetry. I've not done that in a while.
Why are you running away from love? Tell us why you're running away from love.
Because they say Kampala is for business.
Someone else said that. Why are you guys doing that?
It's not the ground for love.
Oh, get out.
It is, but then, I think it has ruined us in a way, or we've ruined it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have Munyenye coming out. Mm-hmm. I've released one track, and it's on my website. It's on my website, and it's on YouTube. The title track, Munyenye. I also have music that shall come out later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we go to the parting shots, or are those your parting shots? Like words that you would want the listener to walk with for the rest of their life, or something to keep them moving forward?
Oh, well. I think this is for the dream chasers.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever is striving towards something, towards a goal, towards a dream, don't give up. Of course, this is a common thing. You've probably heard of it.
Yeah.
But don't give up. It may not be easy. It's not supposed to be easy unless you're privileged in some way. But keep chasing. Work on yourself. And by that, I mean your physical self, your mental self, exercise, is important. It's good for the mind. And keep going. Teri kuzikiza.
Teri kuzikiza. Thank you so much, Sebole.
Thank you too.
For granting us the chance of experiencing your work and hearing you have this conversation for someone that has been hiding. In a way.
Even in public,
you found somewhere exclusive. Like you have like a corner where you have to go and meet the Sebo.
You know why I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I want an audience member to experience a different kind of Sebo Lule on stage. So when you meet Sebo Lule off stage and they are quiet and they don't say much, but then you see them on stage and...
They're like two different people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you say bad words, you boy.
They are no bad words. They are just spoiled listeners.
Oh, that is what you're doing. Goodbye. Goodbye. Don't come back.
I believe this is the first guest that I've expelled from this podcast. Thank you so much for hanging out with us to the very end. If you loved this episode, do me a favor and hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, CastBox, Podbean, or any other podcast platform of your choice. It is by the power of our community that we shall make this podcast grow. Also, feel free to share your insights about what connected with you on social media and tag us. We are at hashtag #WeNavGuzuChwanuka on Facebook and Instagram, and on X, our handle is at @HTNKPodcast, or you can use the hashtag #HTNKInSession. See you next week.